You're listening to the Children's Hour. That amazing story you heard was Dr. Rosalia Pacheco. She is a storyteller, and today she's coming to us thanks to the New Mexico Humanities Council's Speakers Bureau. Dr. Pacheco, you talked about what did we learn from this story. I kind of want to know, now that we've had a little break and we've been thinking about it, does anyone in our crew want to say what they think we're supposed to learn from this story?
I would say a thing that you can pick up from this story is to always be careful about your surroundings and to make sure that you look forward to your next step, because everything around you can be dangerous. But if you treat it right, you can have fun. But it's always important to err on the side of safety.
I think it also has to do with here in the Southwest and in other parts of the country where you irrigate farmland with canales. And this happens all over the world. You know, our ditches where the water comes in and it's diverted from the river way upstream, and then it's carried to the farmers. Those ditches will be dry, 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 dry until they're not. And when they get wet, there's one of two things happening. Either it's irrigation and the irrigation water is coming, or the second thing is what? What do you think the second thing is that would make that water suddenly run?
Storms.
Right. A huge rainstorm will make a totally dry ditch cascade with dangerous water in an instant. And people and children do die from that. And this story, I think, is meant to scare kids. Did you find it scary?
I just kind of found it sad that she didn't have a kids.
Yeah, you feel so sorry for her. And sometimes they say when there's a big storm, you can hear La Llorona crying. Did we get it right, Dr. Pacheco? Are we hearing all the things we're supposed to be hearing in this story?
Yes, and in fact, because this story is a scary story, but it reminds us that we have to be safe. And we usually, when we get scared, we think we hear things. And so I usually tell a story about this one young girl who thought she heard La Llorona, and it was actually a cat scratching at her window going meow, meow, meow. But because she had heard the story, she scared herself. And her grandmother reminded her that it was just a story, and La Llorona is a character from that story.
Can you think of any other story that you know of, kids on the crew, that is meant to be a scary story to make you scared so you do the right thing? Yeah, Maya Malone.
Hansel and Gretel.
Tell us why that's a scary story.
Because, like, these two kids run away from their house, and this person tries cooking them in the stove. And probably the lesson in that is probably just because, like, I'm telling kids not to get close to stoves because they're really hot things and you can burn yourself.
Is there something else, too, that might be an addition to the hot stove?
Be wary of strangers.
Don't go into people's houses if you don't know them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good message, but in the actual, like, Brothers Grimm fairy tale, the reason makes sense.
Yes, because they don't actually run away from home. They're being left in the woods. And what's interesting about Hansel and Gretel is that came out of a period of time in the 1300s when there was this enormous famine. And indeed, families were having to decide who to feed and who to starve. Lily Mae, there's a story, another folktale that lots of people know. You want to tell about it. What one is it?
It's The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
What do you think that's trying to teach people?
It teaches you to not lie about something dangerous and important in case someone is actually in danger.
That's a good lesson, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Pacheco, ditches are found all over the world. So do stories like this, different versions of La Llorona, are there crying women all over the world in a different version?
There are. Well, in two, there's the story of the Banshee. I don't know if you know of that, of people who wail and are all dressed in white and warn of danger. So that is one ghost-like character similar to La Llorona that wails. There are two in Japanese culture, and I forget the name of the character, but that character also wails to warn of danger. So really that warning and that moral lesson from the stories are what are really important to remember, and they have been told in cultures throughout the world. So not just in Spanish-speaking culture countries, but all over the world.
Mm. Dr. Pacheco, it has been such a pleasure having you with us on the Children's Hour. Dr. Rosalia Pacheco is adjunct faculty at the University of New Mexico, as well as at the Diné College. And she's also very well known here in New Mexico for her rendition of the classic tale, La Llorona. And Dr. Pacheco is here with us thanks in part to a generous grant from the New Mexico Humanities Council and the New Mexico Speakers Bureau. Thank you so much, Dr. Pacheco, for taking the time and being with us on the Children's Hour and telling us La Llorona.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And hopefully this excites you to learn other folk stories, to research, maybe ask your grandparents, your parents, family, friends, and people in your community about what stories they know.
Dr. Rosalia Pacheco is adjunct faculty at the University of New Mexico and at the Diné College. She is also a storyteller who is part of the New Mexico Speakers Bureau. To see a picture of Dr. Pacheco in her La Llorona mask, go to childrenshour.org and look for this episode, Folk Tales. And we have a lot more folk tales coming up. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour.
That's a pig.
Hickory dickory dare, the pig flew up in the air.
Huh?
The man in brown soon brought him down. Hickory dickory dare, hickory dickory dare.
This song means something, I'm
barber,
sure of it.
Barber, shave a pig.
Ew.
How many hairs to make a wig?
You gotta be kidding.
4 and 20, that will do. Give the parson a new hairdo. Hickory dickory dare, the pig flew up in the air.
Again?
The man in brown soon brought him down. Hickory dickory dare, hickory dickory dare.
What's with all the pigs?
To market, to market, to buy a fat pig. Home again, jiggity jig.
Mmm, bacon.
To market, to buy a fat hog.
And ribs.
Home again, jiggity jog.
And pork chops.
Hickory dickory dare, the pig flew up in the air.
We do something about
the
that.
Man in brown soon brought him down. Hickory dickory dare.
Thanks, man.
Hickory dickory dare.
He keeps pulling the pigs down.
This little pig went to market. This little pig stayed home.
Trust me, you don't want to go to the market.
This little pig had roast beef.
He wanted low carb.
This little pig had none. This little pig went wheat, wheat, wheat all the way home. Brought him down. Hickory dickory dare. Oh, hickory dickory dare.
That was Mike Menard from his When Mother Goose Laid an Egg right here on the Children's Hour. We're talking about folk tales, and this next one is going to sound familiar. I really hope you can identify the lesson you're supposed to learn from this tale that's been told over and over again. This time, it's being done by the Tiny Boppers, right here on the Children's Hour.
The Emperor's New Clothes. Once upon a time, there was an emperor that loved nothing more than to have new clothes, so he spent all of his money making sure he was always beautifully dressed. He didn't care about his court or his soldiers. Instead, he loved nothing more than to wander around his empire, showing off his new clothes. His empire was a very busy place, and with lots of people passing through, there was always something happening. One day, two strangers arrived, and they went straight to find the emperor. The strangers told him that they were weavers and could weave the most wonderful clothes that he could ever imagine. As not only was the pattern and the feel of the cloth beautiful, the clothes that were made from it were invisible and only the cleverest subjects could see, and those that couldn't see them were most unclever and simply not worthy of a place in his empire. They must be wonderful clothes indeed, thought the emperor, so he gave the weavers lots of money and told them to begin making his new clothes at once. The weavers set up their looms and began to weave. But there was not a single strand of thread on the looms, yet they demanded lots more money and worked on the empty looms until late into the night. Days passed, and the emperor was very excited to see how his new clothes were coming along. Everyone in the court knew of the weavers and the power of the cloth, and they were all curious to see who could see them and who could not. Now the emperor was certain that he had nothing to fear, but thought he would test the cloth and send somebody else first. So he chose his loyal minister to go and have a peek. His minister was very, very clever, so the emperor was certain he would be able to best judge what the cloth was like. But when the minister arrived at the weaver's empty looms, he couldn't see anything. But he knew what would happen if he told the truth, so instead, he didn't say a word. Both weavers asked him to step closer and look at the beautiful pattern of the cloth and the pretty colours. But the reason he couldn't see anything was because there was nothing there.
Oh dear, thought the minister. I must be hopelessly unclever and unfit for my position in the empire. I must not tell a soul that I cannot see the cloth, or I'll be turfed out.
So instead, he said to the weavers,
Oh, isn't it lovely? I will tell the emperor of its beautiful pattern and the pretty colours and that it's the most wonderful cloth I have ever seen.
And that's what he did. So the emperor gave the weavers lots more gold to carry on making his new clothes. Each day that followed, the emperor sent a different person to check on his new clothes, and each one came back and told him about the beautiful cloth with its lovely pattern and pretty colours. Although not one of them had seen anything on the looms. Soon everyone was talking about the beautiful cloth, and the emperor was so pleased, he decided that it was finally time to visit the weavers and see it for himself.
Isn't it marvellous, Your Majesty?
Said one of the statesmen who had already been to see the weavers hard at work, still without cotton or thread.
Such excellent work!
What's going on? Thought the emperor.
I can't see anything, not a scrap of cloth anywhere. Am I hopelessly unclever and unfit to be emperor?
I better not let on I can't see anything. So instead he said,
Oh, isn't it very beautiful? The most beautiful cloth I have ever seen.
His subjects surrounded the loom, and although not a single one of them could see anything on the weaver's looms, they all agreed that it was the most beautiful cloth they had ever seen, and that the emperor should wear his new clothes at the grand procession. The emperor was delighted and appointed the weavers to the emperor. The day of the procession arrived, and the weavers came to deliver the emperor his new clothes.
Please get undressed, emperor, said the weaver, so we may fit you in your new clothes.
So the emperor took off his clothes, and the weavers pretended to dress him, putting on his trousers, shirt, and new coat. The emperor turned towards the mirror, and everyone agreed that his new clothes were a perfect fit. Thousands had gathered to see the emperor's new clothes.
I am ready,
he said, and headed out to lead the procession through the city. His maids lifted the train of his imaginary coat as he walked out into the square. After a few moments, a small voice was heard through the crowd.
But he's got nothing on, said the little boy,
and everyone began to sing.
The emperor's in the altogether, the altogether, the altogether, the emperor's in the altogether, altogether nude.
Now, the emperor knew that this was probably true, but he also knew if he was to admit it, he would be deemed unfit for his position and hopelessly unclever. So, he carried on with his procession anyway, and the maid held the train of his imaginary coat. The end.
people said about what people said about what people said. He was what he was, and he didn't give a hoot about what people said. He was naked all the day, all except 1 hour. That's right, my friends, this little boy wore clothes in the shower. He wore clothes in the shower, wore clothes in the shower. That's right, my friends, this little boy wore clothes in the shower. Pick it!
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, that's my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, there goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Da, 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 da.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, that's my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, there goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Da, 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 da.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, that's my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, there goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Da, 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 da.
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, that's my name too. Whenever we go out, the people always shout, there goes John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Da, 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 da. Da 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 da.
That's Susie Tallman from her Children's Songs, a collection of childhood favorites. The Okie Dokie Brothers gave us The Naked Truth and, in the background, Ella Jenkins. We're thinking about folk tales. Of course, those tie into folk songs. We have a couple more of our favorites coming up right after this. You're listening to The Children's Hour. We're Kids Public Radio. Many thanks to the Outpost Performance Space for hosting The Children's Hour. The Children's Hour is supported by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support for The Children's Hour provided by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the National Endowment for the Arts. Support for The Children's Hour provided by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for The Children's Hour provided by the New Mexico Children's Foundation. Keep up with The Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.